Hey everybody, welcome to our morning devotions. Today's chapter is Revelation chapter 14. Let me read this for us before I share some thoughts for us today. This is Revelation chapter 14. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they were singing a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures, and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb, and wherever he goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb. And in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." Another angel, a second, followed, saying, "Fallen. Fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all nations drink the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality." And another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest, day or night, these worshippers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name." Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud one like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is fully ripe." So he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, the angel who has authority over the fire, and he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, "Put in your sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe." So the angel swung his sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress, as high as a horse's bridle, for 1,600 stadia. All right. Well, I want to start this devotion by not starting with verse 1, but skipping ahead to verse 6. And I'll come back to the first 5 verses in a little bit, but let's start with what John writes in verse 6. In verses 6 through 11, John writes of 3 angels who fly by, each with a different message. The first proclaims to everyone on earth, every nation and tribe and language and people, what John describes as an eternal gospel. In short, it's a call to follow and worship God. And then the second angel flies by, proclaiming the fall of Babylon. We'll see Babylon mentioned several more times going forward, and what we need to know is that Babylon, in this case, isn't referring to a specific city or nation, but rather it represents the archetypal godless civilization, the world, if you will. So basically, the angel here is proclaiming the fall of the ways of the world. Finally, the third angel flies by, warning of the judgment that will fall upon all those who worship the beast and thereby refuse to fear and to glorify God. Such people will drink the wine of God's wrath and face eternal punishment. So these are the messages of the three angels. And then we get to verse 12. And to one of the main points of not just this chapter, but this book, John points out that all of this is a call to endure, for followers of Jesus to hold fast to the faith. In many ways, this chapter should be seen as a breath of fresh air and source of encouragement, especially after what we read in the previous chapter. Chapter 13 described those imposing, terrifying beasts that people followed and worshipped. These beasts were described using vicious predators like leopards and bears, lions and dragons, and they're to make war on the saints, as we read in chapter 13, verse 7, and to kill those who did not worship them. I don't know how you felt when you read this chapter, but that's pretty intense and scary even. But in chapter 14, today's chapter, we read that Babylon will fall, that those who worship the beast will face judgment, while those who worship the Lamb will be with God. That's how we can understand verses 1 through 5. John turns and sees on Mount Zion the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had the name of the Lamb and the Father on their foreheads. If you remember from chapter 7, you'll remember that that number, 144,000, isn't meant to be taken literally. Instead, it represents something. It represents all the redeemed, all the people of God. And the fact that they had the name of God on their foreheads is meant to be taken in contrast to those who had the mark of the beast in chapter 13. So the redeemed will be with God, and as it says in chapter 14, verse 13, they will be blessed, even including those who die for their faith. They will be blessed. Now, this truly is good news. This is why John calls the believers that he is writing to, and us as well today, to endure. So with that, Symphony Church, let's endure. Let's remain faithful to Christ. And again, as we've been saying, John is writing to people who have been persecuted for their faith. They've been, many of whom, arrested, even killed for following Jesus. And so we might think, well, I'm not facing that kind of opposition. I'm not facing that kind of persecution. And that may be true, and praise God for that. But even still, we can face challenges, things that pull us away from the way of Jesus. And in light of that, the call is the same for us. Let's endure. You know, something I found fascinating, actually, as I was reading this chapter, is seeing the Christ symbolized as a lamb, especially right after reading about the beast in chapter 13. This imagery of the Christ being the Lamb of God isn't unique to the book of Revelation, and it makes a lot of sense why he would be described as a lamb. You know, the most obviously, we're thinking about like the Passover lamb as sacrifice and offering. But take a second and just think about the differences here between the lamb and the beasts. As I said a short while ago, those beasts are these imposing, vicious creatures, while a lamb is, well, a lamb. A small, meek, generally speaking, helpless animal. Yet we see that it is the lamb who conquers, the one who claims victory in the end. How? Well, not through destroying and devouring like the beast we're doing, or you know, we're described as doing, but instead through love. We know that the way of Jesus is love. Again, like I said, we might not be facing the type of persecution that the early Christians did, but we will feel pressure. We'll feel the pressure of Babylon, or again, aka the world. And when we feel that pressure, it could be easy to give in and worship the beast, to use the language and the imagery of the book of Revelation. By the way, to worship the beast isn't to literally bow down before something else, but to follow. And so it's easy to conform to the patterns of this world, to live by its rules and customs and ideas, and thereby worship the world instead of holding fast to Jesus and living according to his ways, his way of love. When we live according to the way of Jesus, of love and service and sacrifice, we're going to stand out sometimes, in ways that lead to us being ridiculed or facing opposition of some kind. But once again, we see what happens to those who endure and those who don't. Those who have the name of God written on them versus those who don't. And so in light of this, church, let us endure. Let's hold fast to the way of Jesus. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for this good news. This good news that all who worship and fear you, we will be saved. We'll have eternal life with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this message. Father, I pray that you would help us to endure. Help us to not give up, not to compromise our beliefs and conform to the ways of this world and thereby end up worshiping the world. But instead, help us to hold tightly to you, to your ways, to remain faithful to you, Jesus. We ask for your help in doing this. Give us your strength. Give us what we need to endure. Help us to hold tightly to you, Father. Thank you for these words of encouragement. I pray this over our whole church, Lord. Help us to hold fast to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.